Episode 471, March 16th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A fucking great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
please
are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and now it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
Rob and Joe and Robbie Robinson coming at you. Joe and I are in your beautiful studio here in your home. And you know what? This, as fast as things are happening with this crazy world we live in now, maybe this won't happen again for a long time. We might go months without seeing each other after literally tonight.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're not allowed out.
There's curfew in, I think I just heard, New Jersey. We're doing this, recording this on Monday. I don't know the date, 16th, 17th? What is it, 16th? So by the time you hear this, things could, I mean, every day is like 2 months now, it seems like, in news and things changing.
Well, they closed, if you're listening to this, clear this information you already have, but they closed bars, restaurants, what are the two other things? But they close at 5 and
yeah,
you can get carry out and you can get delivery, but that's it.
I mean, just last week we were talking about the Quiplash tournament at Ellicott City Brewing Company.
And it even seemed a little bit weird to be at that.
Well, now looking back, it was psychotic to be at that because that was a show none of us were making any money at. Yeah, we were all packed in a place.
It was packed, yeah.
Yes.
Every seat was filled.
Right.
So, yeah, it was.
And that was, you know, 5 days ago. So, hey, we're going to obviously, you know, through Skype and stuff, we can continue to do shows without being together. But we're just going to play it by ear.
What are you going to do, Robbie? I mean, are you going to work?
I am not going to work tomorrow, and my company is still having these production meetings where 10 of us get together in a room in close proximity, and I said, I'm not coming to that. You know, I can work, and I don't have to really be in contact with anybody for hours, but I'm not sitting in a little conference room. Fuck that.
Well, that seems stupid. I mean,
that's,
you can't just conference
shit
call.
Yeah, if they're doing that, that's dumb anyway. Do they have a phone sitting on the table?
Yeah.
Yeah, the conference line, you call in, and you have this meeting or whatever.
Are you going to work, Joe?
No, I'm going to work from home. I've been working from home. I had to go into my office today, but I left before everybody got there.
But everybody there is just business as usual?
I wouldn't necessarily say as usual.
Right.
If you have the ability to work from home, you're supposed to, and that's what we're doing. You, I'm worried about. I mean, you know, how do you make any money? You're a professional comedian.
Well, I had a gig in Toledo, Ohio with Koechner this past week. That Ohio came out and said on Thursday, the gig was Friday, that you couldn't have more than 100 people in a room. So he called me Thursday night and said, hey, that's canceled. And I just got done a couple hours early texting with Rick, the GM of the Virginia Beach Funny Bone, because he had said something on Facebook about, you know, there's going to be a lot of cancellations coming up. And I was just texting him to get the general feel of the Funny Bone franchise, what they're thinking. And he goes, well, I'm not, he said at the time, it's not that we're going to close because it's safety. We might close because no one's going to show up.
You lose money.
So he then, it's funny, then a couple hours later, he knew that he needed a feature because Steve Byrne, the headliner, the guy couldn't come or whatever. And so then he knew that my gig was just canceled, so that I ended up going down to VA Beach for Friday and Saturday night, which, you know, it's not as much money because I get a little more from Koechner. Plus, I sell a lot more T-shirts, so it's...
Right. Well, there's also more.
But it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
So
no, you got to work for a living. I get it.
Exactly. So,
but I'm worried about you now.
Well, April and May were particularly super busy months between comedy and Murder Mystery.
Murder Mystery started back up.
Yeah.
We still have the biggest murder mystery in our history, attendance-wise, scheduled for the end of May.
Yeah.
So who knows what's going to happen with that.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm now at the point where that's a 50-50 proposition.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. I guess we'll know depending on what's leveling off. What does that mean? You have less than you... Because here's the thing they keep doing. Because unfortunately, it's highly political. Both parties want to hold each other responsible.
Which is driving me crazy.
It's making me nuts, right?
God.
So whatever. They want us, you know, whatever. I'm not going to get into that. So when they report it, they report the number of cases. Or they shouldn't report the number of active cases so we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just report the number of cases, that seems to have some sort of, ulterior motive, right? Tell me how many people actively have it so I can and track the growth. That's what I need done so I know, oh, wait, are we getting better? Are we getting worse? When does this thing go away?
It's frustrating because I'm on Twitter naturally too much, but I've been on it now actually trying to actually look for information. And you got to just fight through so much bullshit and people like, Trump needs to be investigated. That's what you want to happen right now? Or the house is on fire? Can you imagine the house is on fire right now and you want to yell at Katie about she should have had the batteries changed in the, as opposed to getting us out of the house and the dog.
Right,
It's so stupid, right?
It's like, hey, Katie.
And then it's like, first of all, this is a earth issue, okay? We're all in this shit together.
Right.
Republicans, Democrats, even USA, Russia. That's all shit we made up. This is our planet, okay? So we're literally... And maybe this is the first time I can ever remember. We're all working on this at the same time. The entire planet.
Can I say this? I don't care where what your party affiliation is. The fucking governor of Maryland is the fucking shit.
Yeah, he gets shit done.
God, he really does, man. He's like, all right, this is what we're doing. Boom, 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 boom. And that shit is abrupt.
Right.
You got to respect that.
And I'm not suggesting that Trump hasn't botched some things. It's just we're going to have plenty of time to go over that. Once we survive this, that could kill 5 million of us. Let's try to get through that first. And then we can figure out where shit went wrong, if it did.
Yes, we can find who it is, choose to blame.
Plenty of time for that. I'm a little excited at the idea that the smartest people in the world are all collectively
working on the same thing. You think some other shit might come out of this, is what you're saying?
I think it will, and I think it might form some sharing information that might lead to other issues. You know, I know, you know, there's a, you know, climate issues, things that are world issues that maybe there might be some positives in this, and people, when we're done with this, are we going to go back to shaking hands, or is that done forever? And will that,
yeah, right.
And will
that's
that lead
a bad
to
idea anyway?
Yeah.
Right. There's certain cultures, they kiss each other on the mouth.
Right.
That's got, you know, let's just bow. Okay. They got it right.
Well, with China bows and they didn't,
they started this shit.
Exactly. but I do think if we just touched less, wouldn't that eliminate just the cold and the flu by a percentage that would make you then more productive?
Of course, yes.
Right?
It would. Don't come to work sick.
Right.
And don't touch each other. Done.
Yes. And maybe people will now realize that working from home is a good idea. The traffic will be helped. But in the meantime, we have industries, you know, movie theaters and casinos and restaurants and comedy clubs.
Oh, yeah, casinos are closed.
And
yeah,
bars and
restaurants
that are just devastated, are going to be devastated.
Yeah, there's no, what's plan B? It can't be open. You know what I mean?
Well, if we get to the other side of this, I do think, you know, you're going to have comedy clubs having benefits for the club and the wait staff and the people that work there.
Yeah,
you're going to have 7 night-a-week shows to catch up.
Oh, yeah. And people are also going to be anxious to get
absolutely
out, right?
We're going to be doing a murder mystery on a Tuesday night somewhere.
Here's my question. So, you know, for me, I don't know what the future holds, but I have a day job that still will pay me, at least for the time being, and I have some cash saved, so whatever. But your whole income is based on your ability to perform, which is going to be taken away for the unforeseeable future.
Correct.
And you're also going to be stuck in the house with your significant other for an undisclosed period of time.
Yes.
Will there be tension?
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah, Katie and we need to make sure we don't fight, because we will fight if we're just her and I in a room cooped up.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
I made a huge mistake. You know what? Let me tell this on the other side of the break. Hey, Katie, come in here.
All right. Well, I have an idea for money, too. I want to get to that, too.
Okay.
So, Rob and Josh, I'll be right back. Our Patreon, folks. Let's pump this baby up. Patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show. We delve deep. We tell some inside stories, some things that we don't really want out there, but are entertaining, clearly, about our lives. We share. It's a trust tree.
It definitely is a trust tree. We have been let down on one occasion, but for the most part, people really do respect the Patreon.
Yes.
And I will say this. What is it, $5?
Yeah, you can get as little as $5. You pay a little more, you get some free things. Like we had, I believe, Sharon Bailey got tickets to a murder mystery for being an excellent patron.
Yeah, sure. And that costs way more than what the Patreon costs, right? So,
yes.
But the thing is that if you even are on the fence or considering it, give it a shot. See if we're telling the truth about there being things that you can't. Because I think if you sign up, you can go back and listen to all the episodes,
you
right?
Get them all.
You can kind of timeline it. Some of the stuff's out now that, you know, like me interviewing for the sports position on 98 Rock.
Yeah, that happened. And how,
that didn't work out. But there's a lot of things that we really pull the curtain back on, and it's real. Things that we definitely can't share. And again, I can't reiterate how much we have to trust our listenership to keep that stuff under wraps.
Tequila.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Hey, so, Katie!
Katie's back. How's the chat tonight, by the way?
They're good. Yeah, we got... Who do we have in here? Missy's in there.
Missy's very complimentary on Twitter. Love you, Missy.
Yeah, we got some good people. See if you're hot.
Am I hot?
Okay. So, Kay's going to come at me, but let me get the story out first. So,
Jeremy's in chat, too, by the way.
Oh, cool, because I actually have a story about Jeremy, too. But we're at our friend Kristen's birthday party.
And I don't know what story you're about to tell. Okay.
And Katie has a cousin, Lee. He's the nicest guy in the world.
Oh.
And his wife was there, okay, who I also love. They're awesome. But I'm not at my, you know, I'm a little, not at, I wouldn't say not at my best. You get what I'm saying. I'm not really able to function 100%. Right?
Sure.
The way, right. So I'm talking. I'm just, you know, talking out of my ass or whatever. And I look at Megan. I remember that she got really drunk at her reception. And I go, hey, oh, that's right. Didn't you get really drunk at your reception? As soon as I said it, I'm like, oh, fuck. I should not have said that out loud. What if... And I could tell she wasn't okay with it.
Happy about
that? Well,
yeah, she was
not.
No,
she was not happy. But you also said it in a way.
I know.
You said
God,
it like,
I know.
Oh, I remember your wedding. You were really drunk at your reception.
God, and I'm like, now, granted, any time.
No, you would never say that to
God,
a woman.
But
it's
I'm
the
just
most
like,
important day of her life. And you just, the thing you remember is how drunk she was at her wedding.
And
I
love
pretty
that.
Bad.
Oh, it was so bad.
And he doesn't know her well enough to where
she
knows his personality and he just is like that's the kind of guy he is.
God,
and
I
she
know.
Looked at him like, no, I don't think that was me.
God, it was so
But she also
horrible.
Doesn't know you well enough to think that that's like if you're saying that as someone that doesn't know her that well, she's thinking, man, I must have been really drunk.
Oh, then. No. She thought about it for a long time.
Yeah, no, I fucked up.
She started drinking.
It changed the whole course
of their marriage.
The rest of
True,
the time.
True, and she said something that was really, I thought was really profound.
Okay.
So we sing happy birthday.
Fuck off, Joe.
We sing happy birthday.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you know, happy birthday is a shit song.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
the octave is like,
God.
Well,
like,
black people have a good happy birthday song.
Yeah, she sang, Katie
yeah,
sang
yeah.
that one too. But she said, yeah, it's really like not a happy song. That's the other thing. First of all, it's not a great song. It's not happy. It's not like for He's a Jolly Good Fellow.
True.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Right? It sucks.
Yeah.
And that's why every time you go to a fucking restaurant, like Rob's favorite, Red Robin.
Yes.
They have some song that they've written. Nobody sings happy birthday.
Or they do the gong where they're like, ding.
Nobody
so the world is ending and we're talking about having a new happy birthday
well,
song.
Well, that's what she's
I agree.
Saying. And I'm like, that's a really fucking good point.
It would have been better if you didn't fuck up the entire conversation.
Yeah, if I left it at that and I didn't say it. And her husband, who was the greatest guy in the world, he went to see Tenacious D with me. So when we got Tenacious D tickets, we're just like, hey, do you want to go? And we fucking gave him a ticket.
Yeah,
nice.
So hey, she's not invited.
Oh. She can't go. She'll drink too
and
much.
You gave her husband one ticket for him and not her, and then you just shit on her entire wedding.
Yeah, no, that was a fucking way fucked up thing, and I'm
faux
like,
pas.
Yeah, I
it's
really
a Joe Paw.
Oh, I like that. A yeah. Joe Paw.
And I make them too.
Yeah. Hey, let's. We mentioned the quiplash. I guess we should tell you what happened at that event.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Between these are all the people that competed that you know: Joe, Katie, Justin, Tommy Cimbazzo, Eric Woodworth, Chris Restivo.
Yeah.
I believe that's all the people.
Eric Woodworth, did you say that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Eric, by the way, wore a suit.
He did. He looked adorable.
He did look adorable.
Yeah, those are the regular. They're people that other people who listen might know, but those are the people we mention regularly.
Yeah, Dorian Gray, yeah. James Fenn, local comedians.
Yep. Who am I living out?
Oh, those Rose Weinschenk.
No, Mike Quinlan.
Mike
that's
Quinlan.
Oh, yeah, Mike Quinlan. Yeah. Brian Preston.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Megan Graves, I think is her last name.
Yeah, yeah, and two other guys that were really
Alan,
funny.
Oh, Alan.
Those two guys
Alan
were funny.
Alan Dershowitz.
And before we tell a story about what happened in the game, they said, I'm not saying that this is true.
Okay.
They said this. Okay, so maybe there's another version of the story. But they were sitting next to Chris Restivo.
Yes.
And they said Chris Restivo was making fake phone calls.
Correct.
Pretending he was talking. I'm not saying this, Chris.
I can co-sign that.
I'm not saying
that
that happened. I'm telling you that's what they said.
He's very busy, man.
And he was like, oh, yeah, man, I'm just killing it, man. I'm out here having a blast.
Yes.
Right, that's what he says. But meanwhile, they realized, I don't know how they knew, what they saw what there was no hang up.
Yeah, I came over and they were like, hey, this guy next to us right here just keeps picking up fake phone calls and having fake conversations about how much he's killing it. And I thought it was so funny, but I also thought it was funny they were completely offended when I first got there. It was just the three of them sitting together. And I was like, oh, you guys are Chris Restivo's friend. And they were like, no, 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 we are not.
Well, that is offensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we played the game and... Chris was in my bracket.
Yeah, and something, well, go ahead. I'll just.
No, no, I'll let you tell it.
Well, me and Tawana were there just to view.
Observe.
But you can, you're actually participating because you can vote.
You vote, right?
On the best answers on your, everyone could log in on your phone. And the first round of scoring, because it was eight people, two brackets of eight, the top four make it. And it was my understanding that after your round, that Chris Restivo made it and you, Joe Robinson, didn't.
That's true, and I got extremely defensive.
Yeah.
So.
Because that would be the low point of your comedy career.
It would be. I said this, and Katie doesn't like this, but I'm very insecure and also competitive. But you know, I didn't get an answer in. So
that's because of just your old man texting hands?
Well, they didn't count it down. It was the first time they didn't count it down from 10. So I'm trying to get my thing in.
Right.
And I think I have time because I haven't started counting down. All of a sudden, it goes away. Mm. So that frustrated
that
me.
That hurts.
But also, look, Justin Schlegel had an answer. And the answer was, please send dick pics too. And he put Chris Restivo's real phone number on there. And it didn't win.
Well, that's because
the
audience participation, some people we know, like Rob and Tawanda and whoever else's friends that came to watch. But there's also like half the room or more not. If not more, are just random families trying to have dinner who just decide to participate.
Right.
And they read these things up there and they're like, what? I'm not sending dick pics. And then they pick the other one. And that's how Chris Restivo won.
And they don't know that Chris Restivo is the biggest homophobe of all time.
Exactly.
Right. But
or even who he is.
But also, and you could tell with the finals, but once we get to the finals,
but then it turned out you were in the wild card round with Chris Restivo.
Right.
At which point then you did beat him.
Correct.
Right. Yes.
So the final tally, you did not win, but you did finish ahead of Chris Restivo, but Justin Schlegel did not.
That's correct, yes.
Nor did Katie Robinson.
I lost to Chris Restivo in the first round. I beat him in the wild card round, and I finished third in the whole competition.
Right.
But, yes, listen, and Justin's the same way. We don't like losing a comedy contest to Chris Restivo. You understand? But I also say Tommy wrote as one of his answers, where's the best place to hide a work key or your house key or something? Oh, right. Your house key.
Yeah.
Where's the best hiding place for your house key? That was the question. And Tommy put under Chris Restivo's work boot, which is fucking hilarious because Chris Restivo doesn't work.
Exactly.
Right. And so, and it got no votes. Mine won and it wasn't as funny.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of times, you know, Chris wrote turd in a box and it got a quiplash. So, I mean, that's kind of stuff. It's like, okay, that's fine, but. you know, it's subjective.
It's
but
very subjective.
I'm comfortable that send dick pics to Chris or Steve's real phone number is funnier than turn the box.
Robbie posted on our Rob and Joe show about that the Patreon episode is up. And Chris says, I hate that I can't hear this. So I said, you can if you have $5. I'm typing from the Rob and Joe show account. He goes, I'm not paying, but I hope some positive things were said. LOL. I said, thanks for supporting us. He says, always do.
God, he no, he didn't support
I
us.
Said $5 would be supportive. Then Greg Baldwin says, wish you'd be more honest. No time for fakes.
Yeah, that's true.
And he then Robbie be. Goes, it's a real shame you can't hear this, Chris. And then Chris says to Greg Baldwin, I stay 100, bro. So, you stay about 22.
Yeah.
You stay 100 pounds.
I will say this. If you really want to support us, now more than ever, we need Patreons, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to need to try to make it through the next
Well, you
months.
Mentioned money for me. This is my idea I'm going to do. I just literally started working on it today. I have been recording all my sets. I have a lapel mic, and the audio, it's good. It's very clear. And I'm making a new CD, but I'm not quite there yet. But I'm going to put together a recent set, half-hour set at the Columbus Funny Bone, sold-out show, particularly good set. I'm just going to release the thing unedited. I mean, I'll break it down into tracks, but it's just going to be the entire set. I mean, even my T-shirt pitch, and I'm going to have a link to my T-shirts because it's my set.
What's it going
to
be on your website?
No, I'm going to put it on CD Baby that'll go to iTunes and everything, and I'm
just
going to sell
try
it.
To drive it and say, hey, I need help.
Well, I need to give it a name, like Comedy for the Quarantine or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, because you got it.
Quarantine, Comedy Jam, I don't know. And then I'm going to ask for help with you, Robbie, for some sort of logo or something.
But, of course, you know, Chris Restivo should be supporting you already with $5 for Patreon.
He should.
He's being discussed. He can't give up $5. It's so funny.
He doesn't
because
have $5. What are you talking about?
He's got $5.
Stop acting like he's just carrying around $5. He is not signing up for Patreon because he doesn't have $5.
So he has $5.
Okay. He doesn't have a credit card or a bank account.
Or a car or a job.
Yeah. Okay.
But he's got girlfriends that are 10.
He can get $5.
Okay.
Okay, whatever. If you panhandle, there's a way to get $5, right? Do you agree?
You could sell another T-shirt. By the way, you still haven't gotten your shirt that you paid him 6 months ago.
I don't believe that T-shirt exists.
His dad loves the Robin Jojo. He'll definitely.
Oh my
That's
God.
True.
Give him $5 then.
Yes.
Yeah, so he can listen to the show. But if he really wants to support the show, saying he likes it that's not helping us.
No. Chris, your dad also has a credit card and a bank account. He can just sign it up for you.
And I'm going to expect your dad to buy my quarantine CD.
Oh, I'll make fun of Chris Restivo so bad if he borrows his dad's money for $5 to be a Patreon member.
Well, he wouldn't tell you if he did that. Well.
Keep it 100, bro. Jeremy Woodworth.
Yeah, Jeremy texted me. Now,
Eric's brother.
Yeah.
Pogo the Clown.
He texted me at 10:04 last night, by the way.
Wow.
He got a message. He's trying to buy an electric guitar on Facebook.
Okay.
By the way, do you know how much an electric guitar costs, Robbie? You'd know. Do you know?
Well, they vary a lot, but I think around $6,000
yeah.
in that neighborhood. What? For a nice, new, good electric guitar. You can pay less, but you can also pay a lot more. But I think that's a good average.
This one's $65, this guitar. Anyway.
Oh, come on.
Yes, it's $65. By the way, I think you're going to get destroyed for $6,000, thinking $6,000 is the average price, Robbie.
That seems crazy
to
me.
I'll let that play out.
Okay.
Okay. That's
you can get one for $600. I know you.
Yeah, but you said the average.
Average.
That's it. Okay. What is that?
We're not talking about like the who what
Les
Metallica is using.
Yeah, right.
Fair enough.
All right. Anyway, so he said he's trying to buy a guitar on Facebook, and this is what the guy sends him. By the way, are you Jeremy Woodworth? I hear about on the Rob and Joe show all the time. I should be able. Then he says blah 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 blah. So he says all the time. Yes, we have Joe Robinson's corrections on quality time on Podbean and Spotify. So he gave himself a plug for his
of
own
course, yes.
podcast. But yes, someone, Jeremy, is trying to buy a $65 electric guitar when they average $6,000.
Yeah, by the way, there's no banter, bartering there, haggling. You just accept that price that's 1% or whatever. The
Robbie $65 electric guitar, according to Robbie, is the same as buying a $300 car. Okay,
Mike Chamberlain's car?
Yeah. Yes.
How's Mike Chamberlain doing in this? Can he still do magic and the with the virus?
I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, but I seriously doubt it.
We need to get him on then.
People are not having parties and get-togethers.
People aren't having magic budgets.
Oh yeah, he's in bad shape too. He does plays and magic. He's making Mark Chamberlain's making no money.
Oh, that's bad.
Robbie, will you find out how Mike Chamberlain's making money?
Do you want us to call him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, give him
Let's
a call.
Let's do it. Let's call Mike Chamberlain.
I'm also, while you're calling him, I was thinking it would be cool to do Quiplash and like we could invite people to join in as audience members.
Oh, and vote
after. Live stream
Facebook
the Quiplash.
Live or something?
Yeah.
That'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, Eric Woodworth put it together.
I'm not
saying. Can people log in from separate?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the way, you know he's not busy because nobody's allowed to do anything. So he just, this is just him. Oh, you know what, Robbie?
He's not going to the library either.
Yeah, but he's also might not be picking up a number he doesn't know.
He gets calls from people he doesn't know. He's probably desperate to do shows.
That's
so true. Why wouldn't he pick up?
He doesn't seem to be that desperate. Hello?
Hi, this is Michael Chamberlain, and I'm not here right now. Please leave your name, your phone number, and a brief message,
I'll get back with you as soon as I can.
Thanks for
calling. We'll leave a message while you're texting him. Will you leave a message?
Hey, Mike, it's Rob and Joe. How you doing, bud?
It's been a while since Mike's been on, right?
Way too long.
But what reason we're calling is not because of that. We missed the Oscars, which is...
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunity to have you on, and we just didn't do it.
Which I'm sure he did watch a single one of the movies.
No.
But although 1917 seems like a movie he would watch.
Yeah, I think seems like it.
Regardless, we know that what you do as your source of income is either... What is he, a clown? A magician. He's a magician. Sorry. Sorry, I forgot what he was.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so we know you're a magician.
And in the theater.
And in the theater, and nobody's going to hire a magician right now.
Yeah, or me, a comedian, Mike. We're in the same boat.
Because you're not going to have a party, but you have some other avenues to try to get money online.
Yeah.
You can't do magic on YouTube and
maybe
monetize
that's
it.
That's true, you can't.
So I'm just wondering, what are you doing for cash? Does he have? I think he had a rich wife, right?
I mean, rich is maybe saying a lot.
She's in the theater business, too. I don't know what she's
doing. Oh, no. Uh-oh.
So anyway, we're going to call you back. Answer, and then we can figure out how Mike Chamberlain can defeat the coronavirus with magic.
All right, bro. By the way, Robbie, I don't care if you hang up or not. Oh, yeah. I was saying, it doesn't bother. Wouldn't affect me.
Right.
He could just listen to the rest of the show on his...
Let's rank the things that's most likely he's doing right now. One, he didn't recognize the numbers, most likely, right?
Yeah, he couldn't have. He wasn't recognizable.
What's two? Is eating?
Dinner.
Yeah, it's 7. It's 8 o'clock.
Three, having sex?
No.
No.
At 8 o'clock.
Masturbating?
I mean, what are you...
Sleeping?
No. It is funny because he goes to the... library to get on the computer. So I think his wife said bought him a laptop or something, right? Didn't he say that the last time?
So you think he's just online?
Last time we talked to him, he had his own laptop.
Wow. Wow. He really made it.
We sound the same when we talk about Restivo. Wow, he's got his own laptop.
Yeah. But do you think he has a TV? He doesn't seem like somebody who would have the channels.
Does he have Netflix?
What would he watch on Netflix?
I don't know, but it seems that's the...
You realize
of all the things in the world to have, Netflix is the cheapest. You get the most bang for your buck, right?
But I'm telling you, sometimes I'll go through Netflix and I go, God, there's nothing to watch. Well, you know damn well he's not going to find something to watch.
That's just you being an asshole. There's plenty
to
watch.
He's a bigger asshole than
that's
me.
True.
I hear you.
Okay, let me read his last text to me, okay? I don't know what Sneaky Pete is, but I watched a Blu-ray of Medium Cool 4K Restoration. That's a DVD. Terrific. Hadn't seen it since the Gene Weiss days. Gene Weiss is a professor at University of Maryland.
What's the name of the movie?
No, Sneaky Pete's a TV show.
I know. What's the name of the movie he said he saw, Robbie?
Medium Cool.
Medium?
I've seen Medium Cool more than once. I even have it on old VHS, but don't ask me. It's boring to tell you what it is.
All right, well, it does have a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. Let me give you the wiki real quick. It's
Medium Cool just sound like not a hot... cool movie.
Well, I don't know any...
Sounds like a good comedy CD album title.
I don't know anybody involved, right? I do know this. It was a 1969 American drama film directed by Haskell Wexler, starring, here's the names, ready? Robert Forster.
Oh, you don't know Robert Forster?
Oh, I do. Actually, I do. You know who that is?
Of course I know who that is.
Who is it?
Well, he's the repairman.
Yeah, okay, so you do know.
Yeah, but he's also...
And he,
I thought you were being sarcastic.
He's also in Jackie Brown.
Okay.
He just died.
Yeah, he just died.
Verna Bloom.
He's in Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul. So I was referring to the vacuum cleaner guy who gives you a new identity.
Peter Boners. I kid you not. Boners.
That's his name. I'm a fan.
And look, here's what he looks like. He is best known for his role as Jerry Robinson on the Bob Newhart Show.
Yeah, I recognize that guy. So with the quarantine, if we're all going to be stuck inside, what are some Joe and Katie TV recommendations? I know you don't have any book recommendations.
You're done hearing about Medium Cool.
I'm done. Yeah. Yes.
Because I got lots more here.
Oh, I'm sorry. Robbie produced the show.
The budget's $800,000. The box office was $5.5 million, including rentals.
It's
okay,
a good
sorry.
Return.
All right. So I would recommend, have you seen Cobra Kai?
That's the YouTube thing?
Yeah.
No, I watched the first episode and it was great, and then I don't know why we didn't watch it.
Okay, let me tell you what to do.
I do want to. That's the Karate Kid.
They're only 30-minute long episodes.
No, I'm sold. You don't need to tell me.
I know, but let me just tell you what you have to do, though.
You have to buy YouTube something.
It used to be called YouTube Red. It's called something else now. You can get a one-month subscription for free. This is what I did.
And then knock it out?
I got the one-month subscription.
Mm-hmm.
I had already paid for it. Say, they already got my money. Mm-hmm. I don't feel bad because I signed up for YouTube Red. I watched Cobra Kai in, one weekend, and then I kept YouTube Red for 6 months and gave them $11.99. If there's other content on YouTube, I don't know what it is.
Right.
And I never signed in to even miss the commercials. So they got my money. So this time, I'm like, oh, fuck, let me just sign up and unsubscribe. So they go, 1 month free, and then after that, you pay $11.99 a month if you don't cancel.
Right.
So I signed up, watched the whole thing, canceled it. Now, it sends you an email when you sign up. Just leave that email in there. You can unsubscribe right from that email. That's what I did. But I did give them a lot of money. But cannot have to pay a dime.
I will watch that. Is the chat recommending any things? Do they have any advice for?
No, they're not.
Is there a season two?
Yep.
Of Cobra Kai? Okay,
yes.
Good.
Yeah.
I recommend the Formula One series on Netflix.
You
two
said
seasons.
That, and I believe you. It just doesn't seem, Look,
right.
This is the truth. If I watched Big Brother, I would start getting into it. Whatever it is, But
if you watch a half hour and you're bored, I would just give up or one episode.
That's true. And God, J.L. Covan is such a fucking troll, okay?
Oh, God, McMillions?
Yes, we really like, he finds a way to shit on it, right? I watched it. It was painfully average. It's the most overrated.
It's a 10 out of 10.
It's his. It's great. All right, anyway, whatever.
Also a true story. I mean,
listen, I believe that he genuinely feels that way.
Yes.
But I also believe that there's an immediate bias against it to be contrarian. I believe that.
Yes.
Even if it's subconscious, I know that it exists. He gets more pleasure out of disagreeing. Most of the stuff he agrees with that I said, it's because he had already articulated it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
It's not like he took my opinion and then found a way to co-sign. That would never happen.
Well, what are some things you can recommend to JL that he will then watch?
Hey, JL, check out The Godfather. You might like it.
Now, what's some newer shit? I don't know.
Let me see.
I finally finished Ozark Season 2. Season 3 starts here in a week or so.
I don't. It's just, here's the deal.
I love it.
Much like the show 24.
Yeah,
I'm
which
not
I love
saying,
24.
I'm not, like, I don't mind suspending it, but nobody could survive. You just kill yourself.
Yeah.
You know how much pressure you'd be under if that was your life? I just think about having a job where I got to figure out how people are going to work and I can't even fucking sleep at night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think about insulting somebody that I care about at a party and it keeps me awake. Imagine if every 30 seconds you were doing another one of these things.
Yes, that your life and your children's lives are on the line.
It's like, fuck this.
So you're not recommending Ozark?
No, I'm not recommending Ozark.
Maybe you should go back and watch. I think you should go back. We should all go back and watch Curb from beginning.
Yeah. No, what we did. Katie
you
and I
did?
Did.
Nice.
Let me ask you this. Has anybody even ever heard of Outlander? Has anybody even heard of this show?
Yes, I've watched every season.
This show
it's time
is fucking
travel.
Excellent.
No,
Robbie,
I don't know.
Did you like it, Robbie?
Listen, the show was done. It ended. And then like 2 or 3 years passed, and then they brought it back because women love this fucking show.
Oh, because we're in the second season right now.
What's it about?
It's going to get worse, and then it's going to get good again.
Because it's a really great show right now.
Just warning you, it's going to get worse, and then it's going to get better.
And by the way, these hot chicks are naked and fucking the whole time.
And that's part of the problem later on that Katrina, whatever her name is, she stops getting naked.
Oh, fuck that.
What's this show about? Is it another British show?
Yeah, it is a British show.
You love the Brits.
It's this chick who loves to get naked.
Yeah.
She lives in 1945, and all of a sudden she's transported into, what is it, 1763 or whatever?
Okay.
And she's in, basically she gets involved and she falls in love with, she has a husband in current time, and she falls in love with somebody and marries somebody.
Well, that's stressful.
In ancient time, and that's where we are. So.
Okay. That's on Netflix.
It is. And there's some fucking torture. I mean, there's some fucking shit. It reminds me a little bit of Game of Thrones, right, right. Robbie? In terms of some of the shit that you see, that you're like, God, this thing's taking
it has
fucking
some of
risks.
That, but
yeah.
It's mainly a love story is what it is.
Well, we've already talked about Love is Blind. Robbie's now almost through with that. So that's a stupid show you can watch.
Pass.
That Joe will never watch. I love Bosch a lot. If you haven't watched that, it's like 4 or 5 seasons, I think. There's another one coming out.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of those shows I've started. I'm trying to remember because I have watched some shows recently.
Rob recommended to me that the Better Call Saul podcast.
Yes, it is. It gets a little geeky, and then sometimes a little too. They're blowing themselves too much about how great everybody is.
Oh, I gotcha.
Which I think everyone is great, but it's just enough.
They're not complimenting. They're heaping praise on other people in the room.
Yes, exactly.
I know. It's tough to not do that, right?
No. I think it's just because, but I want content. So I'm like, you just spent 5 minutes introducing everybody and the greatest editor ever. And it's such an, just let's talk the nuts and bolts. But if you like the show, they really get into some awesome stuff and everyone.
I do like
You know
the
what's
show.
Interesting, Robbie, is how rare is this? Because this surprises me. There's a new writer almost every episode.
Yes.
Is that normal? I know there's head writer and they have a place they want to go and he has to sign off. But Vince Gilligan has sort of stepped away this season. But each episode, sometimes a writer will write more than one or there'll be a repeat from last season. But it just seems weird that like you write this whole episode and then it's not like Law and Order where each case is different. It's a different complete show.
Right.
It has to go together.
Now, I remember seeing a Breaking Bad, you know, behind the scenes thing with this writer on the show. So there might be a writer that brings in a concept and then that's, you know, fleshed out by a writing team, I would think. Because
a head writer that's different for each show.
No, I believe that.
Which seems rare, right, Robbie? You know more about this.
I think the idea is that you have your showrunner, you have your executive producer, you have the people who kind of know where the direction is. Uh-huh. They kind of have an outline. They kind of know what's going to happen. And then they have somebody who comes in and does the nuts and bolts for a fresh voice. But they have to know the characters. They have to know the voice of the character. They have to kind of, they're working within a parameters of what's already exists in this universe.
Okay.
And I always think, you know, how long makes can sense. They have Better Call Saul? Because first of all, you got to get where you're going.
Yes.
Right? And once you get there, well, now you have two overlapping shows.
Right.
The other thing is, how old is Mike? He looks old
70s.
As fuck. Yeah, he looks super old, right? So what's his
Jonathan
name?
Jonathan Banks.
That's it, Jonathan Banks. So I was going to say, isn't his name Ermin Trout? But that's his character. That's his character's name. Yeah. So he is, you want to take a guess, Robbie? Oh, wait a minute, this isn't him.
72.
This is a U.S. politician.
I think he's 78.
Jonathan Banks. Fuck. He's not the first Jonathan Banks that comes up.
I think it's J-O-N, not... Is that... There's no J-O-H.
Here he is right here. 73. Damn, right. Robbie.
Robbie knows it.
He's short, too. I noticed that.
Yeah.
Because he's a badass, and you're like, God, I just wish he was a little bit more threatening looking, right?
What's the Mount Rushmore of TV or movie badasses that you don't think are badasses at all?
Well, Joe Pesci has got to be way up there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's...
But I don't... But... I'm not putting him in the equalizer or Taken badass John Wick.
He was the fucking muscle in Casino, and he was the muscle in Goodfellas.
Okay.
I mean, he was the guy that they went to fucking beat your ass and whack you, Joe Pesci. And people were afraid of him.
Was he the muscle?
Yes, Henry Hill was. Oh, what am I, a clown? No, they were terrified of this guy. No, he was.
But I felt like they were terrified because if he started wailing on you, everyone else would pile on.
No,
not
I think
that it would just be a one-on-one battle.
I think that you're wrong. I think he definitely was. I mean, he's basically Luca Brasi. Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who will fucking, he's the guy they send to fucking murder you.
Yeah, but with a gun.
Okay, maybe so, yeah. But I mean, everybody was afraid of him. Remember mm-hmm. Spider? Remember,
no, I mean, know that, the but they're afraid about, that he has no line. He hasn't a temper.
God, he seems like the one alien.
Yeah, they're afraid of him because he's half insane.
Yeah. Well, that, yeah, but I mean, nobody wouldn't label him as a badass, Pesci.
No.
Okay, because he is a badass in both of these shows.
Yeah, but I don't think physically, like Jonathan Banks and... Like, he's beating up gangs of 25-year-olds.
Okay. So, I'm sticking with Joe Pesci, okay?
Okay.
And then I'll give you Jonathan Banks. So, there's two. By the way, you know...
Well, I'm not even saying he's one. I mean, you got
by the way,
John Wick.
Hank is one, too. Well, yeah, but he's a real badass in real life.
Right.
He's put, you know, he's put together, you know...
Like, Liam Neeson, are we counting him?
But he was he also looks like... He's a fucking 6'4", you know, guy. Okay. Now, again, he's older, but yeah. I'm just saying... I'm talking about guys who are like, well, that guy's not going to be able to fucking fight. And, you know,
because Pesci's like 5'3".
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A 5'9", 73-year-old
Jonathan
Banks.
He's Chris
Restivo. Yeah. Yes, it's just fucking karate chopping you. Yes.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Rob and Joe Show.
Gramps here again, reminding all of you who haven't joined Patreon to get on the stick. Every week, you enjoy the upgraded sonic experience listening to Rob and Joe's free shows. Well, that sound equipment doesn't come cheap. So loosen your grip on that fiver. Join the circle of trust. Hear all of the behind-the-scenes mischief and celebrity gossip. Hear Joe discuss being sued by... Hear Robbie detail his affair with... And hear all about how Rob looped... to do a 7-minute set at the Comedy Cellar. Go to patreon.com/Rob and Joe Show now, or I'm going to come over to your house and your wife. Now, back to the Rob and Joe Show.
Well, it pains Joe and I to say this, but The Bachelor, the recent season, just wrapped up, and I guess whenever it started, 2 months or so ago, we just pulled up the website of the contestants without letting Robbie know, and we each pick one person, and I'm pretty sure your person went out pretty immediately.
I think the first game,
yeah.
Show, yours was the
second
show, yeah.
Right? So we were just humiliated, and the girl that Robbie picked, by the way, he picked after you, me, and Katie had already picked.
Right?
She went on to win the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess. Are we gonna actually say that he does have a gift for this?
No, I think it was incredibly lucky. I do.
Okay.
I
mean, but how often can he get that lucky?
Well, you're this is that really the only time he's gotten that lucky this time.
But it does seem kind of that big of a coincidence that he's cheated, then one time he happens to, because just getting one to winner is. Getting the top six or seven would have been impressive, but the winner, that seems impossible.
No, that seems, well, it's not impossible. It's one in whatever it is. If you flip a coin 1,000 times, it's up heads, right?
So whatever 1 in 30 is.
Right, those were the chances, yeah. 1 in 30.
That's
right.
Not very high.
No, it's like 4%.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's fucking good. I mean, what am I going to say? Yes. But I will say, do you remember when in Hunt for Red October, when he goes, hey, you know how he does this, goes starboard, and he goes port? He goes, this time he's going to go starboard. And then he goes starboard, so he believed that he wanted to defect. And he goes, how do you know he's going to go starboard? This is later. He goes, I just took a 50-50 shot.
Right.
So that's basically what we have here. Right? He took a guess, and he got it. I mean, what can you do?
Robbie, do you anything you want to say to that?
Yeah, it was total fucking luck. I had no background. All I had was pictures. And Joe said that she wasn't that attractive in her picture. So I said, okay, then I think she's going to win.
Joe's defense, a lot of those women, they did not look. Their picture was either they were not as hot or they were hotter. There was rarely a picture from the little bit I watched where it seemed like, oh, that's they matched.
Well, we said this when we did it. When you're a 10, which, mm-hmm. Oh, there was only 9s and 10s, agreed. I mean, that's what you have on that show.
There was a couple of sevens and sixes in there. Everyone had a 9 body at least. So.
Well, that matters.
Yeah.
And anyway, my point is that if you have a room full of 9s and 10s, if you take a picture, the odds of it being bad versus it being better than you look, it's clearly easier for you to look bad.
Yes.
So most of those pictures from 9s and 10s are going to be a poor representation of them. I say poor. That's not fair.
But they're also
a
neck
lesser,
up.
A they lesser,
you weren't
right.
Getting the
yeah,
full.
You're not. But usually you saw some cleavage, and I did pay attention to that, too.
True, but if you have an elite body, like, we don't want our body in the picture. We want
just
we get
face.
The right angle at our face and the smile.
And we barely want that.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's going to be doing a Bachelor for Senior Citizens. Is this correct, Robbie? This is real?
Senior
60 plus or something? Or
they have been promoting this. They're looking for contestants. And I think I'm going to watch this.
So here's the theory. Let me tell you why this isn't going to work. And I'm not saying that this is fair.
Uh-huh.
It isn't. Men tend to age a little bit better than women.
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay, they do.
Yeah.
And so let me just take a look here. I want to make sure I'm right about this. I want to see how old George Clooney is.
I bet he's mid-50s.
Okay, so George Clooney is 58 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine George Clooney in 2 years. Is he, you know what I'm saying? That's what you're going to get.
Is that the age 60, Robbie? Because George Clooney is still
a freaking gorgeous
guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They could be going 40s, 50s. We don't really know. I think that they're going to pick people who are very attractive for their age. I think this is going to be
people like Gramps.
Yeah, exactly.
Remember, what didn't Gramps say he was a 7 or 8 or something? Wasn't he told that?
Yes.
Or he was a 10?
Yes.
No, he's always told that he looks like he's 15 years old.
That's right. So maybe they won't allow Gramps because they think he's too young.
Okay, we see your age, but you look like you're 12 years old. So
this show isn't just about attractiveness. It's also about who can bring something to the table in terms of drama, in terms of story. I think it's going to work. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, but people get less crazy when they get older. I mean, they're not going to be in the room doing shots and getting hammered a bunch of 60.
I'm not so sure about that, Rob. Right. I think you're going to be surprised.
I guess my point was this. If you get a great-looking bachelor who's 60 years old, and it's George Clooney, there's going to be a good-looking guy.
Every woman in the world would date George Clooney. The hottest 21-year-old is attracted to George Clooney.
Right, so they're going to date 40-year-olds.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not a 60-year-old woman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's fair. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I'm just telling you the way the real world works.
I think they're going to have really attractive women on the show. I really feel like that.
Like real hot 60-year-old women?
Well, there are famous. There's a lot of actresses and musicians that are women in their 50s that are drop-dead gorgeous.
I can only name like three of them.
Well, I mean, J-Lo, Jennifer Aniston, Cheryl Hines is a 54, I think.
Yeah, she had a lot of work, but yes,
right.
I got you.
I mean, I'm sure there's
going to be people that have had a lot of work.
I'm sure there's a lot more that were.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Michelle Pfeiffer. I don't know.
Angela Bassett's 60 for crying out loud.
Right. No, there's a few, right? Mm-hmm. But then sometimes they try to pretend people are hot, like Tina Turner, and then you see them and they're.
Well, she's also 80 or something.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, not really, you know.
Right. You have some bad news about your best friend on the Ravens.
Oh, my God, you're right. So, if you listen to the bonus show more, I outlined my attempt to be friends with Hayden Hurst. So I'm not going to go through all that, but Hayden Hurst is a tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. And the Baltimore Ravens had an outstanding tight end group. It's the best in football for the whole group, right?
Yeah, I would
especially
say so.
If you consider their fullback as part of whatever that group is, and he was he's a Pro Bowl player as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there was some value to a guy who was last on the team in snaps at the tight end position, last on the team in targets, and last on the team in receptions for the tight end group. So they traded him away to the Atlanta Falcons for a mid-second-round pick.
Yeah, they gave him the Ravens, I think they gave a fourth, and they got a second and a fifth back or something.
That's exactly
right.
But
you have his number, or you have his how do you communicate with them? Instant?
Through Twitter. Twitter, yeah. So I did. I tweeted at him.
Right.
Which I mean what I say.
Yeah.
Hey, you're going to be a great player in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, you were a great Raven, but, you know, you're going to go kill it over there, essentially what I said.
And he's from the South, right?
And he's from, he went to South Carolina, but he's from Florida. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, that's where he wants to be. Yeah. So, but my strategy to be his friend, what can I do? He's never coming back here, right?
There's going to be some new Joe in Atlanta that he's going to take a shine to.
Do they have a murder mystery that he is? By the way, you know, he came out recently that he tried to kill himself.
Yeah.
And, God, he's such a, he's an extremely likable guy.
Very
he's a great
much
teammate.
So.
But now he has this mental health charity.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'll say it now. I said it on the bonus show. My strategy was I was going to approach his mother, who's the head of the foundation, mm-hmm. who also is a Twitter follower for me, and say, hey, do you want, or maybe message them both.
Yeah.
And say, hey, if you're interested, we'll put this show together. We'll do this. We'll do that. If you want to involve any Ravens, that's great. If you don't, We'll just put your charity on it. We'll do this for you.
So now who are you going to come after? Who's your next target?
Well, here's the thing. Like, I think about players that I really like, yeah, like Mark Ingram, but I don't look like the kind of person they'd want to spend time with.
No. Well, is there like a – how about Justin Tucker, the kicker? Because for as far as kickers goes, he's really famous.
He's
very popular.
Currently, if he would continue on the current trajectory, he would end up being the greatest kicker in history.
Right, there's very few kickers that are a celebrity on their team.
He's a celebrity.
In the town.
He's one of the longest kickers in the league, and he's the most accurate kicker in league history.
Right.
But yeah, he's a good candidate. He speaks like 8 different languages, and he sings opera.
He'll be great in the murder mystery.
Maybe we could put him in the murder mystery.
Exactly. We've been wanting to do that opera murder mystery.
Does he have a charity?
He has to have a charity.
Kicks for Cancer or whatever?
You were... Kicks for Cancer?
Yes. I just assumed.
Okay. The name of the episode just changed from Joe Pa to Kicks for Cancer.
I like it. Although Joe Pa, that has to be a regular...
And the cancer has a K,
yeah,
spelled with a K. Like Cars for Kids.
Oh, funny, Joe. Joe Pa, that needs to be a regular feature, though. As well as the Gramps stories, Bergson said he would gladly, did I say this last week? He said if he was allowed to, he would definitely sponsor it, but he can't through his job.
Oh, but so, well, in that case, I would also sponsor it if I could, but I can't through my job.
We did have an offer.
What was it?
Didn't you see it? It's on Twitter, right?
Forgotten. What was the offer?
It was JL.
Oh, yes. JL said he would gladly. Let me see. I can't remember where that text was. But JL did say that he's up for sponsoring it.
Good. If he resubscribes to Patreon, we will call The Righteous Prick Presents, all right? That's what we'll do. Because he quit comedy, right? He's not doing comedy?
He has a gig occasionally. He goes, how do I go about being the official sponsor for Gramp Stories?
You just tell him to sign back up for Patreon, yeah, and he'll be the sponsor.
That'll go. And buy my new CD that's not really a CD, but I'm going to call it that to make money.
Is it basically you'll download it?
Yeah, it'll be just like any. I'll try to get it on SiriusXM.
Put it behind a paywall and you'll get paid for it.
It'll be just like any other CD people buy these days on iTunes or any other place.
You know what? The last times I bought something on iTunes,
I buy things every week.
Never.
You've never. What about Amazon Music?
Nope.
You've never downloaded a song?
Nope.
How do you? So you don't have any new music?
No. Here's why.
All right.
If I like a song, I can go on YouTube. I type it in and I listen to it.
Much true.
Now I know there's easier ways to navigate your music.
Yeah.
But I'm not, I wonder what I want to hear. Oh, boom. The other day I was working out, and I listened to Violent Femmes, their first album, all the way through. Just because it occurred to me.
I mean, just this week I bought The Weeknd, Blinding Lights, new song. I like it. It sounds like an 80s song.
All right.
This is for the new murder mystery, but I downloaded Every Rose Has Its Thorn, and I'd Do Anything for Love, but I won't do that.
Good downloads.
Yes, and I downloaded Sledgehammer. Peter Gabriel.
Oh, that's a great song. What'd you download that for?
Well, I heard the guy, what's his, Harry Styles?
Harry Styles, yeah.
Did it on Stern.
So I heard it too. What's my issue with it, Robbie?
It's not really, he didn't really change it that
much.
Yeah,
he just did a great version of exactly what it already was.
Right.
Which, hey, that's awesome. I do love it, but that's just because it's a great song that he also happens to be a great singer.
Yeah, but they're
One, it helps if you watch the video because he's got 3 girls in the band. It's interesting to watch.
And they're not releasing it as a song.
Listen.
So they're not.
They're just
doing that song. Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. Yeah. And I thought, but you're right. It's a great song. But I wouldn't download his version versus Peter Gabriel.
No, he doesn't have a version.
Oh, I got you.
He just did it for Stern.
Gotcha. And it was good. I don't want to, because that guy's clearly a talented guy.
No, he is. He's got some good stuff.
His good name. But one thing I do want to say, the boys came over, not Rob, of course. He was performing in Virginia Beach, but the murder mystery guys came over and we played a little bit of Quiplash, but we also, maybe we enjoyed ourselves a little bit. We listened to and watched this video. It's check it out. I think it's on Netflix.
All right.
Sturgill Simpson. Do you even know who that is?
I've heard the name. I think he's like a folk country rock singer or something.
And kind of. I guess that's a good way to describe it. And basically what he did was he gave his album to these animators.
Uh-huh.
And they just animated the entire album. and it is a fucking 10 out of 10.
Oh, that's cool.
First of all, the music's great.
Right.
Okay, I mean, it's really...
Would you download a song?
Really good. No, why would I? Just go to Netflix and I would listen to the... But they... And it just takes all these trippy, weird angles. So I wish I knew what it was called. Tommy will know. But let me see here. Sturgill. I don't even know how to spell Sturgill.
I think it's U-R-G-I-L-L.
Correct.
S-T, obviously.
Sturgill Simpson. Let me go. Maybe I'm just going to put Netflix in here. That will work, right? Oh, that's not what I pictured him looking like.
Hmm.
Netflix. Here we go. Netflix trailer. Okay, so this is what it's called. Sound and Fury. So check that out. Sound and Fury. That's my recommendation, by the way.
Sound and Fury.
Yes. If you watch anything, watch Sturgill Simpson, Sound and Fury.
All right. Robbie, you got a recommendation?
Unless you haven't seen Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul, go back and watch those.
Should I watch The Crown? People talk about that.
Katie watches The Crown. It's a little. I'm not a period piece guy, but I'm sure if I watched it, I'd like it. You know.
Have you seen Downton Abbey, Rob?
I have not.
Okay. Before you watch The Crown, go watch Downton Abbey. Despite what Joe said about the film, you'll enjoy it. If you go back into the beginning, it's good.
The film is fine. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's not something that I fall in love with. You know what I mean? It's like, you know.
Yeah.
But knowing these characters intimately would help regarding the movie. It definitely makes a big difference to know the nature of these people. Especially the old butler or whatever, of course. If you don't know some of the storyline.
Yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
It doesn't mean the same.
Meanwhile, Joe's watching Outlander.
First of all, I'm not watching Outlander. Katie watched Outlander.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's the first two seasons. Right? It hasn't gotten bad yet. It's excellent right now.
Okay, but it's a period piece.
But they're naked.
Again, it's on in my television. And by the way, are they naked in The Crown? Because in this show, they're fucking nonstop. Tens, too. Even the guy's as pretty as the girl.
Nice dongs.
Yes, and some very nice dongs. I know you see a lot of cocks.
Good. Oh, well, that's a lead. There.
Yeah, some more incentive.
You buried the lead there.
By the way, if you listen to the bonus show, I'll just allude to Gramps didn't understand this thing that we played where Justin Schlegel made an offer to him, so... Just a little commercial for Patreon. If you're stuck at home,
you might as well
go listen to the last few episodes.
Gramps was horrified.
Yeah, this last one is a must.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Feel free to bump up to a $10 or $15 thing, too, if you want. A month. We'll take it. Well, hey, we have a lot of stuff pending in April, but looks like it won't happen. But right now, it's still scheduled. When we know something, we'll let you know. But hey, I guess hopefully next week, it won't be so crazy, and I can still be here in the studio, but either way, we'll do show through Skype. We'll make it happen.
All right, later.
Later, guys. Stay safe.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.